So today we're going to talk about our theme or topic is a mother's wisdom. And we have three awesome ladies lined up, so I'm going to be short, just to introduce a little bit. This word wisdom, what do you guys think when you hear the word wisdom? Come on, it's interactive now. I thought about that. You do think of that, like, you just think of someone older, they're wise, that wise old man.
But they got big gray hair, though, now, so they're not old.
But wisdom does speak to the young.
There's a verse in the Bible that says the older women will teach the young women. I don't know the exact verse, nor have it with me. We think of someone that's smart, right? Someone intellect. Someone that has knowledge, understanding. And we have that today. How do we gain that wisdom? James 1:5 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, does anyone need more wisdom? I know I sure do. If anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. One of the persons that comes to mind, at least for me, is Solomon. Do you guys know the story of Solomon? God asked him, and can you imagine God asking you, I'll give you whatever you want. No, imagine God in front of you and asking you, I'll give you whatever you want. And our minds go to what? To riches, to power, to a lot of things. You know, at that time, you know, Solomon could have said, you know, I want 100 wives, or I want wealth, or health, or I want to see my enemies destroyed, or something like that, because he was the king. But he did not. Solomon asked God for wisdom. And what did God do? He not only gave him wisdom, because he's known as the wisest man in the Bible, he gives him riches and honor and a long life. That's the kind of God we serve. He didn't just give him because he knew the desire of his heart. He gave him so much more. And we can go on, and I mean, wisdom, the more I looked into it, I'm like, wow, Proverbs 2, 3, and 4, these three chapters talk all about the benefits of wisdom in our lives. And you can look into that, because I know we don't have a whole lot of time. The other one, the mother. You know, we planned this for Mother's Day, and we had to switch it around a little because we have this event coming up. But we want to start to prepare our hearts for Mother's Day. You know, sometimes we look at a day and, okay, let's just celebrate it that day. But the older I get, the little wiser I get, you know, we do need to prepare for things, set our minds for them. How many mothers do we have here? Do we have a lot of mothers? I just want to take a moment and have you stand up. I just want to recognize you and thank you, because being a mom is one of the toughest jobs, isn't it? So, awesome. There's no job that compares to being a mom. I don't know if you guys have seen, there's a video on, I don't know if it's YouTube or Facebook, about a man, and he's asking these people to apply for a job, and he's telling them, you know, it's a 24-hour job, and they'll be standing, and there'll be a lot of sacrificing. These people are looking at him like, no way, I'm not applying for this job. And at the end, you know, he's like, this is all the work that a mother does. She works 24/7. She's standing. She doesn't think about herself. She's thinking about others and all that. For myself, you know, being a single mom, it's been very tough. I am so thankful. I came to this church when my son was about 10, and I had so many women help me along the way, giving me advice and so forth. As we prepare again for Mother's Day, I hope you are blessed, because we get to hear the great testimony of wise mothers in the church. They have raised their own children. They're all adults now. They have been spiritual mothers, mentors to many others as well, not just their own children. They have been a great example as godly women and mothers. And we were laughing earlier, together they have over 100 years of serving God in this church. Amen. The three of them together, that's a lot of years. Amen. They have made a huge impact in my life and many other women in the church. And I could go on, because they're, oh, Carol, taking a picture of me. Okay, so without further ado, yeah, I could go on, because they're our friends, they're our sisters, they're a great example to all of us women, and we're honored to have them speak today. So we have, and I forget the order, Debbie first, and then Sharon, and then Donna coming up. So let's give them a round of applause as they come up.
Like Alma had said, I'm going to try to keep it short. She said try to keep it about 10 minutes, so since all three of us are going to be talking, I spread all my papers out because I have a tendency to, I start off in a nice order, and then I have thoughts, and then in my thoughts or inside my thoughts, and next thing you know, it's a little discombobulated. So I thought, well, I'll do it this way so I can just kind of glance and see what's there. She had given us a scripture that she wanted us to go by, and I don't even know if I can read it because I need new glasses. And some of you do know, some of you don't know that today is my birthday, and yesterday was Donna's birthday. And thank you. Not that that's significant, except for the fact that I'm 56 and I can't see anything with or without my glasses. Just saying. So, so I don't even know if I can read this, but. James 3:17, and this is the scripture that was on her heart when she asked us if we would share. James 3:17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. And the reason I wanted to start off reading that is because the verse right before it says, it's not full of selfish ambition. Because if there's anything that I learned as a mother, I could not be full of selfish ambition. It could not be about me. I could not raise my children with, how does this benefit me? Because my goal was to see who they became. There were moments when I thought to myself, because, you know, everybody knows that in the beginning you know, and I had three children, like, all at once, you know, and I was 30 years old. I mean, not that I didn't know anything about children. Of course, I knew about children, you know, but at that point, my life had been my own up to that point, and trying to figure out what to do with three little kids was difficult, and I didn't do the best in the very beginning. You know, I tended to have a sharp tone. You know, I'm very... I think we talked about personalities a couple times in the Tuesday Bible study. I'm more task-oriented, so I want things done, you know. And but you can't do that with little children. You know, Josh was 5, Amanda was 4, and Shane was a newborn. So, you know, you had to start thinking about what it is that you wanted for them in the long run. You know, what was my goal for them? Who did I want them to become? And then adjust myself according to that. You know, how did I address that? What was the goal? The goal was for them to become who God asked them to be. And many times people would say to me, "Why, you have such great kids." You know, and actually one person asked me one time a couple years ago and said, "So what did you do?" And I said, "I don't know. It was just God." You know, I said, "I think the Holy Spirit was just on their life." I said, I don't know that there was something particular that I did. I said, not that we were bad parents. I said, but there is a lot of good parents who don't have good kids. You know, I said, so I don't want to take a whole lot of credit. And she said, well, that's not necessarily true. There are things that you did, and you need to start looking at that and writing it down. You know, and I thought, well, the one thing that I knew is that I focus a lot on their character more than the behavior that I saw. You know, because oftentimes what they did necessarily wasn't bad because they are little kids. You know, but when I saw a character issue, you know, were they being respectful or disrespectful? Were they being polite or impolite? Were they trying to be sneaky Were they just like directly disobedient? You know, those were the things that I chose to address. You know, not that, listen, anybody who's been in this church a long time knows that Shane was just like full of life. You know, he had two speeds, sleeping and full blast. So, and he still is like that. I don't know if you, anyone who knows him personally, he's 26 and he still does not sleep much and he is still full blast. And so he was difficult. But I noticed that none of that was guile. None of that was, he wasn't a bad boy. He was just full of life and I had to address it that way. I had heard a little story. I don't know if any of you know who Laura Story is. She's a singer-songwriter. And she did like this little blip, little testimonial before she did a song and a little podcast that I was listening to. And I was listening to it with my husband. I know some of you know that in the morning we are always listening to something, you know, music or something. So I'm in the kitchen and I'm doing dishes and I hear this little podcast going and I turned around and said, write that down. He's like, what? I said, that little thing that you just were playing, what was that? I said, write that down, I need that. And he's like, write it down. So he gets his phone and he rewinds the podcast and he recorded the whole thing for me. Now I'm just going to give you the highlights of it, but it was the thing that just ministered to me. It was the thing that was the foundation of why we did what we did. She said, if there's just one thing we could give our kids, it would not be a life free of pain. It would be a life of faith. No matter what they face financially, health trials, that God would sustain them and his plan for them is good. We would want to believe as parents that we could give them everything that they could possibly ever need, but the truth is we can't. God does not call me to live as a perfect mom, but to be a mom that points towards a perfect God. And that's what we kept trying to do. There were days that we were too harsh. There were days that were difficult. As they got a little bit older, it got a little easier because I could reason with them better. My favorite thing is Shane would always say, well, I said please. Or I said, I'm sorry. Or I said, thank you. And I'm like, that didn't change what you did. And there are times when I would have to say, it's not what you did, it was why you did it. You know, it's why you did it that I'm addressing, not what you did. And it got easier as they got bigger because I could talk to them more about it. The whole thing about this is discipleship. You know, because the one thing I had to remember as they were growing up is, would I say this to somebody else's kid? If I was trying to disciple them and lead them towards a great and mighty God, would I say that to them? Or would I minister to them in a different way? And I had to remember that they were my brother and sisters in Christ, just like all of you are and all your children are. And I had to make a plan to make sure that I was saying it that way. So when people say things to me like, "How you have such great kids, how did they get that way?" Because we apologized. And we talked to them like they were adults. And we reasoned with them like they had some sense. And there were many times that I knew they did not understand a word I was saying. They were looking at me with that glazed over look like, what? But I knew they would get it someday. And there are things now that they'll say to me like, oh, you know what, Mom? Something that you said to me before, I saw it today. I remember what you said. There was nothing more wonderful to me than one time I was in the kitchen, and I know you all have been, anyone who has children, and even if you've had times where you're taking care of other people's children, and you are exhausted. You're exhausted. You have had a long and full day, and the kid's like, Mom, will you make me some popcorn? And you're like, are you out of your mind? I am so tired. All I can think about is I just want to get up the stairs. That's all I can think about. And Shane, one time, it was right before he got married, and he had just got home from work. And I don't know if you know, Shane worked midnights for 5 years. And Jesse said, "Hey, Shane, oh, you're making something. Will you make me some too?" And he said, "Mom, it all flooded to me. I am so stinking tired. I do not want to do something else." And he was like, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." You know, and I said, "It's okay. You'll have many times to experience all of those things now that you have a daughter." So, but I just want to leave you with this. Deuteronomy 11, 18 and 21. "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on the gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land of the Lord, sworn to give to your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth." As many as the days as the heavens are above the earth. He never changes. Amen. So, and that's it. And so now, we'd like to ask Sharon to come up. Yay, Sharon.
Thank you, Alma, for all the kind words you said. I'll tell on myself. When she mentioned what it was going to be about, I said, in wisdom, I said, "What has that got to do with me?" Most of you know that I have three adult children. The oldest is 48, middle child is 44, and the youngest is going to be 41. And I have seven grandchildren. And one's getting married. I think one of the greatest things that you can do for your children is spend time with the Lord. Whether it's your children or the women or maybe young men that you're ministering to, spend time with the Lord and get to know the Lord. And then the next one is spending time with them, with your children and your loved ones. Getting to know them, their needs, their wants, their desires. Each of them is different. How they react to circumstances and situations is different. And in this day and age, they're being told all the wrong things for all the wrong reasons. And I actually think, even though it's not an easy thing necessarily, because I felt like a failure in so many ways, and the Lord's been there, and the ladies here have been there to encourage me and raise my own children. I admire you women who have children that, in all the things that you're going through right now in your work. And trust me, I make sure I pray for you every day. And as you train them and teach them, make sure that you're laying a good foundation. Because no matter what lies they're being told about themselves, or about what they desire, that foundation is something that they're going to fall back on. I remember when my oldest daughter, she was a Christian at an early age, and she let her friends know that, well, some of the things they wanted her to go to, that she wasn't interested. And naturally, she got a little flack, although everybody seemed to like her. But them same friends, they didn't go to their party friends, and the ones that done the things Karen went. They called Karen because they knew deep down that she had the answer. And when you're feeling like this ain't working, because they do go through their own time where they have to find themselves and walk their own testimony out, God will be there to encourage you. I remember getting a letter from Karen, and she had first moved to New Jersey. And it surprised me. You know, she's always been a good daughter. You know, she had her times that we go through as mothers. But she's thanked us. She thanked us for everything we had taught her. And she was going to take a lot of that and put it in her own life. So when you're feeling kind of low, or like, what am I going to say to them? Realize that you have a support team here at the church. That's why it's important to be in a church, to have other believers to be there for you and for your children and your family. And as you teach them, keep it simple. Unlike me, kids are usually people of few words. I say 20 were, 2 would have been suffice. And it's been a learning experience. It was even one of the prophetic words over me. Keep the point in 2 sentences. I'm still working on it. And the most important thing you can do for them is pray. And teach them about prayer. You see, my goal has always been to make the kids realize that they are the leaders of tomorrow. They don't have to follow the crowd. They can be the example. They don't have to change who they are for their friends. If they're real and true friends, they're going to be there. Maybe not the time when they're trying to impress the cool kids and be invited to the parties and stuff like that. But they're going to realize, like Karen's friends did, that they have integrity, that they're a true friend, that no matter what, they're going to be there for them, even in the rejections. To teach them that they can be a success without changing who they want to be and who they are. That they are the prayer warriors of tomorrow and today to lead these kids into truth, to show them they have self-worth and they don't have to do the things that they're being told by the world and even by our government. Amen. Because you can say and change your policies to what their people's itchy ears want to hear, but in the end, it's not going to bring life, it's not going to bring joy, and it's not going to bring peace. And one of the most important things, too, is to make sure when they don't feel they've succeeded, when their disappointment, whether it's with friends or themselves, to be there to support them, to encourage them, that no matter what they say, no matter what they do, you might not always approve of the wrong things, but you're there for them anyway. That there's nothing they cannot say that's going to make you love them any less. To teach them the love of God and to love themselves and that they're important and that how they feel counts. It doesn't make a difference what the enemy tells them, whether it's the enemy of our souls or their friends. I think the hardest thing in being a mother, and some of you with adult children now, is when you have to let go. To wonder if you've taught them everything they need to know to survive. And the greatest thing you can do, that's why I'm saying, make sure they have a foundation. Make sure they have a good support team of youth and young people. You know, you really do count. You might feel like young people, like what you think doesn't matter. But I've seen a lot of kids almost suicidal that with the right word, with the right thing said, as God leads you, that have turned their whole lives around, that they know they're loved, they're cared for. You know, David was in his youth when God chose him. He was young when he became king. And God's not a respecter of persons. Teach your children that their age has nothing to do with whether God will use them. If God will use David, he'll use them.
Okay, Donna? When I was praying about what God wanted me to speak on,
He spoke to me about identity. You know, as a mother, we tend at times to put our identity in our children without even knowing it. You know, because when they're little, you're just so busy with them that you forget about where your identity might be, should be. And so the Lord told me to encourage you to always remember that our identity is in Christ. We are a mother, but that's not who we are. I'd like to share Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And with that was so much grace when he died on that cross for us. And we need that as mothers. We need a lot of grace. Colossians 3:10 says, "And I have put on a new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of in the image of Christ, our Creator." And so I just encourage you to always know that your identity, because believe me, as your kids get older, maybe not so much when they're younger, but when they get older and they tend to go away from what they've been taught, and the enemy's right there to say, you did this, you did that, and that's why your kid's doing this. Mm-hmm. And it's not the truth. The truth for us is to pour into them. And when the enemy comes and lies to us, say, no, that's not who I am. That is not true, because God says, I am this. And he says that I was a good mother because I followed what he told me. It's so important for us to get before him and pray. Is the biggest thing about being a mother. Prayer, 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 because that's what changes things. Mm-hmm. So we need to do that, and we need to know that we are who God says we are. The most important thing we can do as mothers in loving and caring for our children is to live in our identity in Christ, to show them that we make mistakes in life, but we can go to our Father in heaven and repent, and he will show us the way. You know, you don't have to be a perfect mom, and you're not a perfect mom, and you're not going to be a perfect mom. You're going to make mistakes. But that is opportunity where we can, you know, it's kind of like when you're in a relationship, marriage, or with the opposite sex. When you get in those fights, when you come back together, you grow. And it's the same way with our children. When we have those mishaps, we will grow, and we can use that with our children to say, hey, I was wrong here. You were wrong here. I was wrong here. But let's pray, and let's go before the Lord and ask him, how do we fix this? Remember, our identity is not in motherhood. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. We're not perfect. Love covers a multitude of sins. I say this. But God covers a multitude of our mistakes. And, you know, I know just even before my husband and I got saved, we were a mess. And our kids witnessed the mess. But God covered so much in that mess. And I was, like, thankful. Thankful that even in our sin, he covered us. And he didn't have to do that. But he loves you so much that he'll do that. I'd like to take a moment and look at Eunice and Lois. Timothy's mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois. And Timothy was one of the greatest evangelists. And he was young. And his mother was Jewish. And his grandmother was Jewish. His father was a Greek, but that doesn't mention in Scripture about his father. So I'm kind of thinking that maybe he was a little bit absent as far as pouring Christian values into him. So in Timothy 1:5, this is Paul. Paul was his mentor. Paul was his spiritual father, because there wasn't a father as far as spiritually represented. So Paul became the father. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am now persuaded lives in you. And I thought about our legacy. Though that mother and grandmother handed that down to Timothy. First it was the grandmother who handed it to Lois, who handed it to Timothy, and he changed generations. And I think as mothers, we need to realize the importance of being a mother. We have the greatest calling and mission field in being a mother. The world doesn't value being a mother. As a matter of fact, they kill babies now, even as they're born. I remember being a young mom, and people would look at me, and I didn't work. I stayed home with my kids, and I was like a nothing because I didn't work, because I didn't do this, I didn't do that. And the truth of the matter is, being a mother is the greatest honor you will ever have. And it is the greatest mission field you will ever have. So it's the greatest calling and mission field that we will ever have. The world doesn't value it, being a mother. Women think there is more value in all kinds of other things. They look down at mothers who don't do anything else but be a mother, when the truth is, it's the highest honor to pour into a life about the one who gave his life. And in return, gives abundant life to us and uses us to give others eternal life. See, that's the key. He's using us to build his kingdom. And through that, they're going to have life. And what's the most valuable thing but life? My mother told me once, she said, Donna, you know, because my kids, none of them are going to church, but Christ is in them. You know, it's funny, my daughter called me the other day. She goes, yeah, Ma, I got a journal and I'm going to read it. And you know, I told my friend, I need more of God in my life. And my son, who is a police officer, preaches the word of God at work all the time, tells people they need to get in church. And I said, you need to do that yourself, son. And, you know, my kids all are raising their children to serve the Lord, but they're not there. But they have issues, and that's okay, because God will use those issues to bring them where they need to be. And anyways, my mother told me once, your hardest child will be your faith builder. And those of you who don't know my mom, we were a handful. She had four kids, and my brother was a heroin addict. My other brother was a coke addict. I was a wild, rebellious teenager, and my sister wasn't at home. She was more of the goody two-shoes one, but but she had her issues too. Yeah, she was doing things too, but I remember coming in and I was so high, and I would go by my mom's room and she would be praying in the spirit. I said, oh, there she is with that praying again, and she prayed and prayed and prayed, and my brother, who was the heroin addict, ended up renewing his life with the Lord before he died. And my brother, Doug, he was always having problems because of the heroin, and he got shot, and he always came to me. He got shot, and I took him to the hospital, and he ran away from the hospital, of course, because they had to call the police. And they found him on grass, unconscious, and he came out of it, and I said, Lord, you must really love him, because you always get him out of his messes. And the Lord says, yeah, I do love him, Donna. He said, but I hear a mother's prayer. And I knew it was in that moment. That was my mom's prayer for all us kids. And we're all serving now. And he's faithful. And I know that he'll be faithful to even my children who aren't in church right now. But his word does not go out void. Anyways, Ed Trout had a word for me one night. And after the word, he was walking away and he turned around and he looked at me. He goes, you know what the Lord said to me? He said, you keep pouring into his children, and I'm going to take care of your children. So I hold on to that word. And when times are rough, Hold on to those words that the Lord has given you. Don't let the enemy come and say that nothing's going to change, because it will change. And I just want to read one more thing. My husband was having a hard time, and my son wrote this to him. Hey, Dad, just want to let you know I love you. And I know you're stressed to the max. Not easy going through all that you have been through, from having to be a sick wife to things with us kids and bills and stuff on top of working 40-plus hours and dealing with work stuff. I know you have the weight of the world on your shoulders, and it's got to be tough. Couldn't imagine being in your shoes at times, but I just want to let you know, I think you're still the best father, husband, and man of God any of us could ever ask for. I wish I could take the weight off your shoulders. I really do, Dad. If I could, I would take Mom's sickness and everything else that stresses you both out. I would. Just wanted you to know I love you more than anything. And glad God blessed me with a father like you. And he said things to me too, you know, like that. And it's like, it's because the Word of God is working in him. And there's things like that that will give you hope. And if you're a single mom, I encourage you to pray, be in church, and ask the Lord, who can mentor my son? Because I know that Eddie mentored Miguel. And that's how it works. Just like Paul mentored Timothy, Eddie mentored Miguel, you know, ask the Lord, who can mentor my child? Who can mentor him when there's a lack of a father?
How many of you were blessed today?
Amen.
It was beautiful. I thank you, Debbie, Sharon, Donna. You all have had an impact on me personally, and I'm very grateful. When we went in the room back there to pray before we started, I kind of joked. I walked in and said, "Oh, like, I feel honored to be in this room. I feel the anointing." You know? And I kind of joked, but it's the truth. Amen. And I did feel honored to stand with you and to walk this walk with you and to serve in this church with you. Very honored and blessed, and I know, show of hands, right? The whole room feels the same way. I know that. In a world where the markers of what's right and wrong keep changing, and they keep moving it and say, no, this is now right, and no, this is right. It doesn't happen here. It hasn't happened with you ladies, and it hasn't happened in this place, in this house, and I'm very grateful. We are blessed beyond measure. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day. These breakfasts, these words, Lord, they're so much more than just coming together and eating a wonderful meal, Lord, that you are feeding us spiritually, Lord, that you are giving us words that are life-changing and pivotal, like words that are pivotal and that cause shifts in our lives, and we thank you, Lord. I thank you for your encouragement. I thank you that you breathe life into us, Lord. And I ask, God, that you'd bless these women today that spoke, Lord, that you'd bless them and their families and their children, Lord. And I pray that you'd do immeasurably more in their families than we could ever dream or imagine, and the same in ours as well. Protect our children, Lord God. Draw them all unto you, Lord. I even pray right now, all of our children that have had prophetic words spoke over them, Lord, that they would remember this moment, Lord God. That they would remember who they are in you, Lord Jesus. And those that are serving, Lord, too, that you would bless them, and that we would all just go deeper into the waters, Lord God, into your presence, Lord God, into our destiny, Lord, and what we're here for and what we've been born to do, Lord Jesus. We just give all these things to you, and we thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.